have your Bibles this morning, and I encourage you to please follow in the Bibles. If you don't have your own Bible, there are Bibles there in the pews. I encourage you to look at the Word of God. We'll begin by reading from the book of Psalms. I encourage you to look at the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. The Word of God here is talking about how that the people of God have a lot of different battles in their lives. We tried to begin looking last Sunday at the fact that the Word of God teaches us that there are many, many battles that we face in life. And if we know that we're going to face a lot of different battles, if we know that they're coming, then it helps us not to be shocked and to not think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that come our way. And I believe that God has taught us in His Word that we're going to have many trials and tribulations and afflictions so that we can know what to do when those problems come. There are ways that we can prepare for the storms of life or the battles of life. We looked last week about Joseph, how he was put down into a pit, and then after he was in the pit, you remember how he became a slave in Potiphar's house, and then after that he was put in prison, and then after he was in prison, then he was lifted up by God and blessed by God to be in Pharaoh's palace. So we looked about Joseph's life and all the troubles and problems and the years of trouble that he had in his life, and yet God was with him. That was the common statement made about every place that Joseph was, whether he was in the pit or Potiphar's house or in prison or in Pharaoh's house. The Word of God kept emphasizing that the Lord was with him. We need to always pray that God will help us to be able to feel His presence with us no matter what we go through in our lives. Reading now from the book of Psalms 34, beginning in verse 17. The Word of God says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth." Does the Lord hear all prayers? The Word of God says that God will not hear the prayers of His people when they turn their backs on God. "But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now, some people would have you believe that if you're righteous, if you follow God's Word, if you try to live in a right way, some people will tell you that you don't have troubles. That's contrary to the teaching of God's Holy Word. The Word of God says, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The Word of God says here that the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And that's the main thought that I want us to think about. Continue to pray that God will help us to understand, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Word of God teaches us repeatedly that in the world, Jesus said in John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulations." And then He says, "But be of good cheer." He doesn't put a period there. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer." Can you tell me how you can be of good cheer? How can you be rejoicing even in the midst of all kinds of trouble in your life? How can you be of good cheer? The only way is if you can feel God's presence with you. And I pray that all of us this morning, that we will begin to realize more and more how much we need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him all the way. I can't draw the next breath without the blessings of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I cannot face the troubles and problems in life without the help of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, as he talked about many of the troubles in his life, and Paul's life was full of trouble. And in the midst of all of those troubles, he says, "I can," what? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know who it is that will enable you not only to make it through your troubles, but to be able to rejoice even in the midst of all of your troubles. It's feeling the presence of Jesus Christ. If you can just feel God with you, you can say like David of old, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." No fear. Don't be afraid. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Have you ever been in the midst of the valley and felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever had trouble in your life? Have you ever had problems? Have you ever had distresses? Have you ever had great difficulties? And yet in the midst of all those difficulties, you could still sing and praise the Lord like Job did when he lost all of his possessions and all 10 of his children. The Word of God says, the Lord, that Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could Job not sin in that hour? How could he not get mad at God? How could he not sin with his lips and charge God foolishly? It's because he had the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And brethren, those sound like simple words. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. But if you've ever been in great trouble in your life, if you've ever had distresses that you knew that without God's help you would be washed away with a flood of troubles, if you've ever been able to feel the peace of God, you know that it is peace that passeth all understanding. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Word of God says that God says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Now that's a message that God's given to His obedient children. He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And then He says, "When," not if you pass through the waters, "but when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou passest through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon thee, because you are mine, saith the Lord." Isn't that a great blessing to know you belong to God? You belong to God, not because of something you've done, but because of the amazing grace of God, that God has chosen you and redeemed you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you are precious to God. Jesus, that song that we sing, little children sing, but it ought to be precious to all of us. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Yeah, isn't it wonderful just to feel the love of God? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. And when you can feel the love of God and the presence of God and the power of God, you can face the troubles and the problems of life. I want us to go back to 2 Chronicles. I encouraged you last week to back up and look at 2 Chronicles. I want us to look at some specific ways that we can prepare for the battles of life. And the reason I say battles of life is because as you look at the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan, did they have one battle to fight or did they have many battles to fight? They had many battles to fight. It was one battle right after another. And that's the way it's going to be in my life and your life. Don't be shocked when you have many battles. Don't be shocked when you have many fiery trials. But rather pray that God will help you and be with you and bless you. And then you can say with the Apostle Paul that you know that God's grace is what? God's grace is sufficient no matter what you face in your life. The Apostle Paul had begged God to please remove that thorn in the flesh. The idea that all you have to do is pray and believe and you're going to get whatever you want. That's a lie from the devil, brethren. God has promised His obedient children that when they pray that He will give them good things, He will be with them, and He will bless them even in the midst of all their troubles. The Apostle Paul said when he understood that in his weakness, how many of you have ever felt weak? How many of you ever faced such problems that you knew you couldn't face those problems? It's in our weakness that His strength is made perfect. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in tribulations. He says, I'll be glad no matter what troubles come my way, because I can glorify God when God's power rests upon me. Have you ever felt the power of God in the midst of your troubles? Have you ever felt God lifting you up? Not that you were able to fight the battle, but that the battle was the Lord's and the Lord fought for you. Have you ever felt that? The Lord was doing the fighting for you. Now what can we do? What can we do to pray, or rather what can we do to prepare for the battles that we face in our lives? What can we do to prepare for the storms that are going to come our way? Back up in 2 Chronicles, I want to first ask you to remember 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Going to begin in 2 Chronicles 15, read just a couple of verses there, and then 2 Chronicles 17, and then we're going to go and concentrate on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What we're looking at this morning is, what can we do to prepare for the battles and the storms and the problems and the troubles in our lives? What can we do to prepare for that? 2 Chronicles chapter 15, listen please to verse 2. The Spirit of God said to Azariah, read 1 and 2, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Now listen carefully to this statement. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. Everybody hear that? The Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, brethren, we need to know and understand that in this world, as we live, if we want to feel the presence of God with us, God has said, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. Have you ever walked away from God? Have you ever walked contrary to God's word and God's way? And do you understand that if we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1 says that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. But if we walk in darkness and we say we have fellowship with God, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. If you're not walking in God's way, you don't feel the presence of God. You may be deceived by the devil into thinking you feel the presence of God, but you cannot and you will not feel God's presence when you walk away from the Lord. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. So what's the first thing that you can do? Of course, the bottom line is, unless you feel God's presence, you cannot face the battles and the storms of life. But what can you do to prepare for the battles and the storms of life? The first thing and the most important thing is, you must walk with the Lord every day. You must commune with Him. You must be in His presence. You must walk in the light. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. Now come down to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I want you to listen to the first four verses here. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures today. And if you'll follow in your Bibles and you'll mark these things and you'll go home and study these things, you'll see that God lays forth a very clear plan to prepare for the battle, to prepare for the storms of life. If they were to tell us that there was a hurricane about to come into Brunswick and was going to sweep right straight across Georgia and was going to wipe way across Georgia off the map, are there preparations you can make for the storms? Yes. Now, if you know the storms are coming, then you need to make the preparations. And the storms are coming. There's nothing more needful this morning than for you to know how to get ready for the storms. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Listen please, beginning in verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, his sons, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Let me just stop right here and tell you, one of the best ways to get ready for a battle is to be strong. If you're going to fight a physical battle, before you went to before you went to serve in the Marines, what did you have to do, Brother Wendell? Okay, you did that before you ever went to boot camp, didn't you? And then when you got to boot camp, what did you do? More working out. What were they doing? What do soldiers do before they go to battle? They prepare. They strengthen themselves. They get strong physically. But I'll tell you, brethren, any soldier, that the only strength he has is physical strength. If that's the strength he trusts in, he's going to fall. And you and I, as the people of God, we may prepare in other ways, but the most important way to prepare for the battles of life is to get close to God and strengthen yourself in the Lord. I'm afraid that too many of God's people are so weak that when the storms come, they're just blown away. Why? Because they had not prepared. They had not strengthened themselves in the Lord. The storm is coming. And I encourage you and I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ that you all strengthen yourself in the Lord. Get stronger. Can you get stronger than what you are right now? Do you need to get stronger? Yes, we all need to get stronger than what we are. So what did Jehoshaphat do? He strengthened himself against Israel. Verse 2 says, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Listen carefully to verse 3. Now, has Jehoshaphat done some physical preparations for the storm that was coming? Has Jehoshaphat done some physical preparations for the storm that was coming? For the battle that was coming. Yes, he's done some physical preparations, but now listen to verses 3 and 4. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Is there a reason the Lord was with Jehoshaphat? Was the Lord with just Jehoshaphat just because Jehoshaphat was his child? Or was there something his child had done that resulted in the Lord being with him? The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Did you know, brethren, many of God's people are trying to prepare for the battles of life by trusting in Balaam rather than trusting in the Lord. They're looking to Balaam. They're looking to the world. The Word of God says in the book of Isaiah, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. If you trust in the world and the things of the world, doesn't matter whether you're trusting in the government or the institutions that men have set up, if your trust is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see everything you've trusted in, you'll see it crumble and fail you. So Jehoshaphat, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways. What do you need to do as you prepare for the battles? Say it again. Walk with God. Walk with God. Listen to verse 4. He walked with the Lord. He sought the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Verse 4 says, but he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. You remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost? Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The generation that Peter was living in was a generation that was going away from God. It was not going toward God. It was going against God. And Peter said to those people as he preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And my admonition and exhortation to you this morning is that you would save yourselves from this untoward generation in which we live. Don't walk with the world. Don't depend on the world. Walk with God and trust in Jesus Christ every day. He sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Now go to chapter 20. And this is where we want to spend most of the time. In 2 Chronicles, please look in your Bibles at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What are we trying to look at this morning? We're trying to look at the fact, first of all, that you and I are going to have to face many battles in life. The text in Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Will the Lord deliver you Will the Lord help you if you follow the way of the Lord? Will the Lord bless you beyond measure? Yes, He will. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 now. The Word of God tells us about the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir beginning to come against Judah and Jehoshaphat. Now, who was Jehoshaphat? That's who we were just reading about back there in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, who had strengthened himself in the Lord and had depended on God and had trusted in God and had walked with God and had kept the commandments of God. But do you know what happens to God's people? Even though he had done everything he was supposed to do, did Jehoshaphat get afraid when the battle actually started to come? Did you know that happens to every one of us? This idea that you won't ever be afraid, that's the reason God says over 365 times in the Bible, God says, fear not. Why? Because He knows that His people are going to get afraid. It doesn't matter how much you've prepared yourself for battle, there's something that can happen that'll knock you off your feet. It'll shake your faith. At least for a moment or two, you'll be shaking all over. You'll feel weak. You'll feel, I'm going to sink. The storms of life, the troubles of life, the battles of life, when they come upon you, at first they'll make you tremble and quake. And what will God do for you right then? He'll say, fear not. He'll say, fear not, little flock. Fear not. He'll speak peace to your soul. When you get bad news, He'll just be right there and bless you and help you. So Jehoshaphat got the news that these three armies were coming against him and against Judah. Verse 3, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 3. And Jehoshaphat, what's the next word there? Feared. Why, this is a man that's walking with God. A man that walked not after Balaam, but walked after his father David. He's a man that feared God, shunned evil. He was a man that loved the Lord. He was a man that strengthened himself in the Lord. But when the next storm came, what did he do? He feared. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You seek the Lord one time, you're going to be with Him all the time? How many of you sought the Lord this morning? Don't raise your hand. Just think about this. How many of you sought the Lord this morning? How many of you just got up and just came to church and didn't really seek the Lord at all? How many of you are going to begin your day tomorrow by seeking the Lord? Or are you going to just head out and try to face all those things you've got to face tomorrow? You're going to try to make decisions that you need to make without the Lord's help? Then you better fasten your seatbelt because big troubles are coming. And if you don't seek the Lord, you're going to have troubles that will overflow you and overtake you and destroy you. So Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Is there a light that comes on right there and says, now here's something you can do to prepare for the battle? What can you do? What's the first thing listed in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that you can do to prepare for the battles and the storms of life? What's the first thing listed? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, the Word of God says, seek the Lord while He may be found. What does that tell you? It tells you that you can go so far away from God that troubles can come and you can then seek the Lord and you will not find Him. But if you're trying to strengthen yourself by staying close to God and then troubles come and you seek the Lord, He will be found of you. Seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Do you know what a fast is? Fasting is when you leave off food and water. And some people say it's other things, but listen, brethren, the important thing is it's when you deprive your flesh of things your flesh wants and you refuse to take those things and your concentration is not on the things of the world but on God and seeking the Lord. Did you know we need to fast and pray more? Do you know what one of the first things, what's the first thing from this chapter you need to do when you face a storm? What's the first thing? Seek the Lord. What is the best way to seek the Lord, or the second thing we need to do in order to seek the Lord? We need to fast and pray. pray. I'm telling you this morning that I've never faced a major problem in my life. I've never faced a major decision in my life. But what I have tried to fast and pray, and I'm telling you that God has never one time in all my life, God has never failed me. When I have fasted and prayed and sought the Lord, God has given me the answers I needed in my life. And God will bless you and help you if you'll seek the Lord, and if you'll fast and pray and seek the Lord with all your heart, He will be with you. He'll be with you. Seek the Lord. Proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4 says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Is Jehoshaphat the only one that's asking the Lord to help in this battle they're facing? No, all Judah came together, and they all began to seek the Lord and ask the Lord for help. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They came to ask the Lord for help. What's the first thing you need to do when you have troubles and problems? You need to seek the Lord, and you need to ask the Lord for help, and you need to fast and pray. Verse 5, listen carefully. Verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Where did he go? Where did he go? He went to the house of the Lord. Do you think there are times that we need to have special gatherings in the house of the Lord? Does God tell His people? And some people say, well, I can worship God. I've got a very good friend. He says, I can worship God just as good out in the woods as I can in the house of God. That's a lie from the devil. He believes that. He's wrong, but he thinks that in his mind. He's deceived by the devil. Listen, brethren, when you have major problems, one of the things you need to do is you need to get into the house of the Lord. You can't always come to the house of God, but if you can, you get into the house of the Lord and you get other people to come together with you. You ask for others to come together in the house of the Lord. This is a place that's been set aside by God's people to come together and to worship and to pray and praise God. God says in His Word in 2 Chronicles, the beginning of this book, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God says, if My people, when trouble comes, He says, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven. Is there something you've got to do before God will hear from heaven? God says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If I were to ask for all sinners to stand up this day, I would hope every one of you would stand up, because you need to know we have all sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that deserves the blessings from the Lord. Are you glad that God is merciful and gracious? Are you glad that God is long-suffering? Oh, brethren, we need to praise the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy and for His grace that's been poured out in all of our lives. God's been good to me and God's been good to you. No matter what the storms are that come, God has still been good to you. So they came into the house of God, verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not Thou God in the heaven, and rulest not Thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Is God able to just mash down your enemies? Is God able to do that? Yes, He is. He says, O Lord God, our fathers, art not Thou God in heaven, and rulest not Thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in Thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand Thee? What does God do? He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest Thou? God is sovereign, God is all-powerful, and God is all-wise. And God does not make a mistake. I was in Savannah Friday and was coming out of Savannah and got behind the car, and there was a big bumper sticker, bigger than normal, and it said, why worry? Listen, it said, why worry? God's in control. Now that's good, isn't it? God is in control. Now, if you haven't been walking with God, you better start walking with God. If you haven't been putting God first in your life, you better start putting God first in your life. Because if you don't, then the storms are going to come and they'll wipe you out. Your life, your house will fall. You remember how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Whosoever heareth these sayings... Have you ever heard the sayings of God? Have you ever heard the Word of God? Have you ever heard God tell you what to do? Has God ever pricked your heart and told you there's some things you need to change in your life? Jesus says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew." What's Jesus telling you there? He's telling you that even when you obey God and serve God, you're still going to have the rain and the winds and the storms, and they're going to beat upon your house. But your house will not fall if it's founded upon Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, "But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." Have you ever heard the sayings of God? I'm talking about children of God now. Children of God who have heard the Word of God and they've known what to do, but they didn't do it. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not," Jesus says, "I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the winds blew, and the storms came and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Have you ever seen saints of God fall? Can I fall? Can you fall? Can your house fall? Yes, it can. And the only thing that will make a difference in whether your house falls or your house stands is whether you're built on the rock or whether you're built on the sand. Whether you're trusting in God or whether you're trusting in the things of the world. Look at verse 7. He's gradually beginning to tell you something else to do to prepare for the battle. Listen carefully. He's beginning to tell you something else to do. What has He told you? Somebody tell me, what are some things He's already told you to do in the first 6 verses? What's some things He's told you to do? What's one thing? Seek the Lord. What's the second thing? Fast and pray. What's the third thing? Okay, do the commandments of God. Okay, what's the fourth thing? Well, one thing He said in verse 6. In verse 6, He's saying, you're God. You're in control. Do you know what you need to do sometimes? You need to just verbalize the sovereignty of God. You need to say it out loud. What happens when you say and declare the greatness of God? It strengthens your soul when you begin to quote Scripture and you declare how great God is. Verse 7, now He begins to enumerate some of the blessings that God has done. He says in verse 7, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." What's He saying? I've already seen you work. How many of you have ever seen God work in your life? How many of you have ever seen God work in your life? What do you need to do then? When you're in the middle of a storm, what do you need to do? You need to say, "I remember how the Lord helped me in days gone by. I remember what God's done for me." You need to say it out loud. You need to talk about how good God's been to you. You know what will happen when you begin to enumerate and vocalize and verbalize and say what God's done for you? You know what happens? You're reminded God loves you. God loves you. God cares for you. You're reminded of the power that God gives His people in the midst of storms. You say, "God, you were with me the last storm I went through, and I believe you'll be with me in this storm in my life." I beg all of you in the name of Jesus Christ this day. I encourage you in the name of Jesus that you go home and study the Word of God so that you can know how to prepare yourself for the battles that are coming, because the storms are coming. You remember last week I told you how many years ahead they've already named the hurricanes that are coming. They've already named them for how many years? For 6 years ahead, they've already got the names picked out. Why? because the weather forecasters know the storms are coming. You follow that? They know the storms are coming. What does God tell us? Storms are coming. What do you need to do? You need to make preparation for the battles and the storms of life. Pray and believe God. Thank you, sister. That sums it up. Pray and believe God. And that's going to be, believing God is some of the other things we're going to get to in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. May God help us all, is my prayer to prepare for the storms of life.